Please join me in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise.
Thank you.
Our text for our meditation this evening is taken from St. Paul's letter known as 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 29. This I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, a woman in a congregation I was serving told me a story about her little girl when she was in first grade. Her daughter had been at kindergarten, or at first grade for about a month or so, having already been in kindergarten the year before that. And the teacher had suggested to the mother that she take her daughter to an optometrist to get her eyes checked, which they had done. And the little girl, sure enough, needed glasses. Well, years ago, you had to wait a few weeks when your glasses were being made. They finally went to pick up her glasses one day. And her little first grader went with her and got the glasses fitted. And as she was in the car riding back to school that day, the mother told me that the little daughter kept looking up through the windshield at the trees. And she finally said, "Mommy, there are leaves on the trees. I thought it was just a big green thing." Suddenly having that clarity of proper vision allowed her to see things as they really were, and not just the way she imagined them. When it comes to how we look at things in this life, the way we see things, according to our sinful, natural, fallen condition that we've inherited from our parents, things are a little bit out of perspective for us. And it's hard to remember how temporary and finite everything can be in this world around us. But through your baptism and through the gift of God's word and the message of Christ, the Holy Spirit now has fitted you with glasses, a whole new perspective to give you clarity on this world and to help you remember that everything in this life is ultimately fading away. Now, Paul gives us some pretty shocking words here. We're supposed to live, even if we're married, as if we're not married, and so on. The point he's making is this: don't get too attached to all of the things and all of the relationships that you can have in this life. It may feel like a long way off, but ultimately eternity is coming, and the time is short. The form of this world is passing away. He would have us understand that everything about this life, even the great wonderful things that God can let us enjoy, like marriage and having children and having families and the joys and the laughter and the sorrows and all of the things that go along with having a family as well as all of the possessions that we can acquire in this world, ultimately is passing away. Now, St. Paul is not trying to convince us that these things don't matter in life. On the contrary, the chapter that these words come from, 1 Corinthians 7, if you look at it, is loaded with instructions about how to properly view marriage and what a blessing and what a gift it is from God and how the Christian should manage this well in his or her life as a tremendous blessing. Likewise, the joys and sorrows of this life, there are many places in Scripture where God has much to say about how we go through those and how the believer should deal with that. And blessed are those who mourn, our Lord says in his Sermon on the Mount. And likewise, the business affairs of this world, God has a lot to say in Scripture addressing how we, as his children and faithful in this world, go about the matters of the things of this life. So it's not as though God is trying to say through St. Paul that these things don't matter. That's not the point. But rather, it is this. No earthly connections or relationships, as wonderful and God-pleasing as they may be on their own, none of them should hinder us or get in the way of our relationship to our Savior, who came into this world to pay for our sins so that someday we could go to heaven. No matter what your situation is in this life or what your situation is going to be in the future in this life, your number one concern should be anxiously waiting for your Lord Jesus to come back. And consecrate your life, even your youth, consecrate your life toward eternal preparedness. God would have us, in a sense, live in a state of spiritual detachment from all the relationships we have in this world and all the things and joys that we can experience in this life. And it's not that God doesn't permit us to enjoy them and to have a relationship like this. That can certainly come with his blessing. But at the same time, to be detached from them so that our hearts are fixed primarily, first and foremost, on the mansions above. It's interesting to note in the Bible how God frequently does this through his word, where he just strips away all of the stuff and all of the people and all of the relationships in our lives to remind us of what is truly important. And then where the heart of faith comes to realize and understand the need to set our hearts and minds on things above, God comes back to us and he gives all those things back to us. He gives all those relationships back to you and all of your possessions. And he gives all of those joys and things, the experiences that you're going to have in this life, he gives it all back to you now that you have a proper understanding of what really matters. But what's interesting about it is this. Once he does that, it intensifies your appreciation for these gifts. Once you have an eternal perspective, once you realize that heaven is what really matters and that Christ has come to give that to you and you possess it by faith, now you go back to those relationships that shouldn't get in the way of that and you realize even more how fantastic they are and how the blessings God has given you, how wonderful they are. The author of Hebrews says this, Here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. As a parish pastor, one of the most difficult things I would have to do is go and talk or meet with somebody once they found out that the disease they were dealing with was terminal. I remember praying before going to those meetings almost more than anything else. But so often what I found in the believer that I had to deal with was that they had what I would call spiritual clarity. They suddenly, all the junk in life was out of the way. They really clearly understood the necessity of Christ, his grace, his mercy and forgiveness, his beautiful sacrament that keeps us and feeds us on the way to heaven and looking forward to the beautiful joys of heaven. You have been blessed in your life by the Holy Spirit coming into your young life and fitting you with the glasses of heaven. Keep them on and look at your future spouse with them. Look at your children someday with them. Look at everything you have in life with those glasses on. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.